Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show, where we analyze, explain, and exploit the opportunities presented in today's commercial property marketplace. If you're interested in apartments, mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, and other income property, you've come to the right place. We'll explore what's hot and what's not in markets nationwide in the relentless pursuit of return on investment. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Commercial Investing Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we discuss the relentless pursuit of ROI. Yes, that's right, return on investment and return on inflation. We have a changing future with monetary policy and fiscal policy the way it is, and we need to prepare for it as investors by structuring our transactions differently, and we will talk about that on this episode and future episodes, of course. So we will be back with a fantastic interview for you and a guest today in just less than 60 seconds. Stay tuned.
Now you can get Jason's Creating Wealth in Today's Economy home study course. All the knowledge and education revealed in a 9-hour day of the Creating Wealth Bootcamp, created in a home study course for you to dive into at your convenience. For more details, go to jasonhartman.com.
It's my pleasure to welcome Liz Fenley to the show. She is a commercial lender, a commercial mortgage broker. Actually, I'll be a little more specific there, with Allied Financial Services. And Liz, welcome. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
So what is going on in the commercial lending space nowadays? How are rates looking? And are the banks willing to lend at all, I guess is the question everybody wants to know.
Right. Yeah, the banks are lending. Rates are just starting to creep back up. They've been really low historically. They've been going up and down lately, but they've been really low for the last, six months to a year, and they're starting to creep up. I'm seeing an increase. They don't normally follow the residential trends on the commercial side. They travel independently from the residential rates, but when rates on residential start going up, the commercial will eventually follow. And a lot of the people that I do business with, they tend to make the mistake that, you know, they're seeing rates on the residential side at a certain place, and they're thinking the commercial rates are going to fall into that spectrum, and a lot of times they don't. So it's something that if you're going to track it, you need to track it independently of residential rates.
Now, on commercial loans, and of course, we're going to drill down into different market segments. And what's really interesting about you, Liz, and I can't wait to talk about it today on the show here, is that you really do a lot of business in the what I'm calling the unique property market. Churches, gas stations, sort of these different kinds of properties. Whereas, you know, if you talk to a commercial lender, most people think, well, I've got a retail center, office space, an apartment building, a self-storage facility, a mobile home park, that kind of stuff. So I want to get into that. But tell us a little bit, if you would, about maybe we'll start with qualifying for commercial financing. Of course, more is based on the property than in the residential world. And maybe you can tell us how it all works there, if you would.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, things have changed a lot in the last year to 2 years, and a lot of my investors are starting to re-educate themselves and understand that things aren't working the way they used to. So on the commercial side, you're going to qualify the building and you're going to qualify the borrower. And the borrower is really going to have to be able to step up and prove that they can afford payments on the building. There's personal guarantees being asked for that weren't previously. Tax returns have to show positive income, where before there were a lot of stated income loans on commercial, and you know they just look at the cash flow on the building. Now they're looking at the whole picture of the borrower. They're not just looking at the building. So that's one of the first things that is sometimes a shock to some of my borrowers. Their personal financial situation is really important so they get approved for a loan.
So what you're saying is that they're thinking that it's really the property, and it's not. Right.
Right. It's both. And with the property, you know, the thing they're looking at is cash flow. They're looking at leases, and they want long-term leases. They're hoping there's no vacancies. If there is, you know, hopefully that vacancy isn't a large portion of the income on the building. It's maybe on the smaller side compared to the income that's being generated from the other units in the building. Also, right now, banks are really interested in doing SBA, owner-user properties, and that's what's really hot. Banks are not stepping up as much for retail or office space. I know sooner or later that's going to turn around more, but right now, retail is really difficult to get finance.
And I got to just insert there, Liz, that I don't blame the banks for making it difficult, because I think retail's got a lot of pain ahead, office space too. But personally, I like multifamily quite well, and I like mobile home parks and self-storage. Those are my three favorites.
Right. And I got to say, with multifamily, that's one situation where your personal income can be a little bit, that doesn't have to be quite as strong. In multifamily, I have quite a few situations where the bank is going to look at the property and maybe not be quite so stringent on the personal side. So I do have to add that. That's the one property where I've seen some banks go, okay, you know what, this property cash flow is great, and you've had it for a while, you're running it with a positive cash flow, so your personal financial statement isn't looking all that great, or your income taxes aren't looking all that great, but we will just take the building into consideration primarily, and we're not going to hold that your business, your personal tax returns against you. So that is one situation that is the opposite of everything else that's going on in commercial.
Yeah, so the lenders obviously have a lot more faith in the multifamily asset class, so that's a real telltale sign right there. So I would say I definitely agree with that. Are there certain deal sizes that you think are sort of the sweet spots for individual investors? This show is geared toward the non-institutional investor, obviously. And what deal sizes are you finding out there that really make sense in terms of a financing perspective for people?
Well, any size makes sense if it's the building's cash flowing and you've got a good financial statement. Personally, you can do a personal guarantee and you can back it up with tax returns, bank statements. Any size makes sense if you're an investor and you're investing in smaller properties, but you're showing a positive income, then it makes sense to keep going and add to your inventory of buildings. I personally, my loan size that I personally have worked with the most is from 1 million and up, 1 million to usually 2 to 3 million. Occasionally I'll get something larger than that. I do get smaller loans. And if everything looks good, then I think you should go for it. Buy properties, exchange them, invest in them, and you can definitely build up your net worth. So I wouldn't say, any size is too small, if it makes sense.
In terms of the rate and terms, I mean, on a multifamily property, what type of product are you finding out there? Is it fixed for 5 to 7 years and then adjustable after that, or all due after that? What are you finding to be most common?
Well, people like as long a term as they can get. So the banks are offering 5 years, obviously 5, 7, and 10 years, and I try to get them the longest term I can, and the rates are usually a little better than with other commercial properties. So currently, you can probably get something in the 5.5 to 5.75, fixed for 5 to 7 years, amortized over 25, sometimes 30 years. So that's, pretty much what's being offered right now.
So on that loan term, so 5.5 to 5.75%, fixed for 5 to 7, maybe even 10 years, right?
Right. And the longer the term, the higher the rate.
Right,
so
of course. Yeah.
I'm saying like 5.5 to 5.75 on the 5 year. So at the 10 year, you're probably at like 6.25 or somewhere in there.
Makes sense.
Six, maybe.
And is the loan, I know it's amortized over 25 years, is it all due in 5, 7, or 10 years, or does it just become adjustable after 5, 7, or 10 years?
It's usually due, and if it goes into the adjustable right now, that's fine, but I never recommend that because you don't know what's going to happen. So, right now, the prime rate's so low and margins are added to the prime or whatever index they're using, you can still be in a really reasonable loan, and sometimes that interest rate is going to be a lot lower than what's being offered fixed, but because we never know what's going to happen, I think that's really risky. I always encourage people to get a fixed loan.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. I think the longest possible term of fixed rate mortgage nowadays is the bargain of a lifetime. And I really want to stress that because I think rates are going to pop up quite a bit in the future. I think inflation is on the way, and inflation basically makes the effective cost of that mortgage either zero to negative. So just look, I mean, just do such simple math. I call it the great inflation payoff, or another way to put it is inflation-induced debt destruction, I call it, where if you're paying 6% on that interest rate and inflation is 6%, you're paying effectively zero. So I think we're going to see inflation rates, real inflation, not the official quoted stat of the CPI, well above 10%. Here in the coming years because of the debt crisis and the irresponsible spending of our government. And then we're going to see rates have to go up because mortgage rates are directly tied to treasury bills. And there is no way other investors, especially foreign countries like China and Japan, will keep buying our debt with the kind of spending we've got going on out there. So it's great time to be locking in long-term fixed-rate mortgages and just stocking up on long-term, high-quality, investment-grade debt. You were going to say something else on that point, Liz.
Well, I was just going to say rates have never been lower, so absolutely it's a great time to, you know, get a refi, purchase buildings, lock that rate in as low as possible. And, you know, most of my loans, in fact, I would say all of my loans have no prepayment penalty, so you can always pay more than the minimum, you know, and pay it off as quickly as you want to. But this is absolutely the best time to be refinancing or purchasing real estate. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. This is like great as far as rates go, but I do think rates are going to increase. Banks aren't making any money right now, and they can only do that for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. So let's talk maybe about the unique property asset classes that I mentioned before. You're currently working on a deal. You're financing a church in Tennessee, right, Liz?
That's correct, yeah.
Tell us about that. How do you do a church deal?
Well, I'll tell you. One of the things with this deal is for a little over $1 million. And this particular bank, and I'm finding with churches, certain banks will only deal with certain religions or, you know, they want certain amounts of people, worshipers who attend the churches. They have different criteria. So it's really interesting to me how they do this. And, you know, part of the thing with how many worshipers they want is they want to know that there's going to be so much income coming into the church, and they base that on the number of worshipers that the particular church has. They're nonprofit, you know, nonprofit category of tax returns, so there's a lot of flexibility with qualifying the borrower. They're not as stringent on certain things, and then other things they are. It's a different animal, and I've just gotten started in the church arena, so I'm learning as I go. And they're great borrowers. Their credit scores are always excellent, and their financial statements always look really great.
Fantastic. So gas stations.
Yeah, well, with gas stations and, you know, anything, gas stations are normally, in fact, everyone I've ever done is owner user, so they fall in the SBA category. Banks like gas stations that are named gas stations like Shell or Mobile, one of those, the smaller mom and pop ones are much harder to get financed. And they want somebody that's been in that business for quite a few years and can show that they have a track record of making a profit and know how to run a gas station. Other than that, you know, it's normally a 5 or 7 year alone, and it's based, they leverage it with the real estate, and they look at the business and just make sure it's got positive cash flow, and whoever is applying for that loan has good credit and some strong financials.
Can you tell us anything, Liz, about the SBA world? Now, this is really a different part of it, and this is pretty much, I think, for people who are running their own business within a commercial building. Do you do SBA financing?
Yeah, I do a lot of SBA financing, especially now. That's what banks are really looking for right now.
Because they insured by the government, right?
Well, partially that, right. But I think another aspect of it is the borrower is also, you know, occupying that building. And so it's to the borrower's best interest to make sure that business is a success, that the mortgage payment is made on time. The borrower has a lot more to lose if they don't make the mortgage and make a profit, and because they've invested a lot in it. It's not just their money, it's their time. A lot of times it's their passion. It's what they're spending their life doing. And so the banks like that. They feel that there's less risk involved in SBA, not just because of the government portion, but because the borrower is usually, you know, really entrenched in the business and wants to make it profitable.
Well, just to kind of wrap up here, Liz, what else do you want the listeners to know about the financing arena?
Well, if your financials aren't looking that great, your tax returns aren't looking that great, there's a whole world of hard money out there, which I've also gotten involved in. And one of the things we haven't talked about is the amount of equity that banks are looking for in all of these properties.
Oh, the loan-to-value ratio. Sure, that's sort of an obvious one. I'm sorry I didn't ask. Yeah.
Yeah. And 50% is like great, you know, is what they love. But like with multifamily, they'll go less. They'll go 75%. SBA, they'll do 90, and I've seen them do 95%. So, yeah, one of the things I wanted to bring up with hard money loans in the hard money world, and also the loan-to-value situation with all of these deals. With hard money, they like to see 50% equity available. And if you are in a bind and you really need to refi quickly it would be a refinance situation, hard money will come in. It's expensive. They're usually about two-year loans. You can get an interest-only payment, so that helps a little bit. It keeps the payment down. They'll amortize them from 20 to 25 years. And, I mean, it's an option out there for those borrowers who have run out of time on the loan that they have and they're not qualifying for something else. That's one thing that I would definitely be looking at if I'm an investor and I'm trying to find something that can tie me over for a short period of time. The other thing is with multifamily, you need about 75% LTV. With the SBA world, it's 90 to 95% I've even found.
Wow, SBA on multifamily has some
really...
No.
SBA isn't for multifamily. SBA,
that's what I thought, it was
for...
just for businesses, yeah.
Yeah. SBA is for like gas stations or, you know, hair salons, restaurants.
Right.
Owner user businesses. SBA, you can have a really low LTV. And then on retail, industrial, they like to see 50 to 65% on those. But, you know, I'm seeing some exceptions being made. If you have a really great financial situation and the bank's really interested in the building, they'll be flexible. They'll work with you. And one of the things, too, that I want to mention that I'm real good at is negotiating any of their fees. If you've got a building that they really want on their books, cash flow is great, your business is running at a profit, they'll work with you, they'll drop their points, they'll give you a break on appraisal fees sometimes. There's a lot of things up for negotiation, so that's one of the fortes that I have and, you know, that keeps it interesting for me is to get in there, make the deal with the bank, look at all their fees, look at the LOI, and sit down with them and see what kind of deal they're going to give to my borrower. Because you know what? They're going to have that loan for a long period of time. They're going to make a lot of money on it, you know, and I think that they should be servicing these loans and helping these people out and giving them something for their money. So I get in there and really fight for the borrower and try to get him the best situation I can.
And one of the things I wanted to just bring up on the SBA side of it is that when you say really low LTV, you actually meant beneficial to the borrower, high leverage. So 90-95%, which is desirable. I just didn't want that to be misunderstood. Highly desirable to the borrower. But aren't they cross-collateralizing that against your personal residence or other real estate?
They will. I mean, they look at the global picture. They'll look at a schedule of real estate owned, and they'll look and see, you know, what do you owe on all your buildings? How much is this one costing? Or if you're refinancing, what do you owe on that? And they'll look at everything, and if they have to add something into the mix and cross-collateralize, they will. I try to keep that from happening. I try to prevent that if it's the only possible way I can get the loan to go through. And, you know, and we've really exhausted all other avenues, and we'll bring another building in. But I try to keep, you know, it's not beneficial to a borrower to have that happen. So I try to prevent that from happening.
Well, good, Liz. This has been very informative. And please give the listeners your contact information so they can find out more.
They can call me at 818-430-2966, or they could email me at lizfenley@yahoo.com, and I'd be happy to answer anybody's questions.
Liz, thank you for joining us today.
Okay, well, it's great talking to you.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com. Or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.